fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Monday. It is Monday, the 22nd day of January, year of our Lord, 2024. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Live broadcast begin at Republic Broadcasting Monday through Friday with my show, the John Moore Show. And we begin my show with the Pledge of Allegiance. Should be done in every school day of the year. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The prepper tip today is to inventory your food. Make sure you have what you need. Make sure it's in good condition and ready for consumption. I like to have at least a 2-year supply, and that's what I advise for my consultation clients, a 2-year supply of food. We have a patient waiting in the green room, my friend Stephen Starr. Stephen Starr is a professor at the University of Missouri. He is the author of an excellent book. The title of the book is Nuclear High Altitude Electromagnetic Pulse, the subtitle, A Mortal Threat to the U.S. Power Grid and U.S. Nuclear Power Plants. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, John.
Good to have you with us, as always. Well, Stephen, there's a couple of sentences from an article written yesterday by Susan Duclos at the All News Pipeline. And just to get our conversation beginning, I'm going to read these couple of sentences. Here we go. Still, we are observers from afar, not privy to U.S. military documentation or the internal deliberations of foreign entities. We take the news and connect the dots to come to the most logical conclusion, which is that the Middle East is more volatile than it has ever been before, and that we must be prepared for the eventuality of global war where nuclear weapons are utilized. Can you find anything to disagree with there, Stephen?
No, not at present. I can't.
No, that's simply where we are. Something that doesn't surprise me or shock me, but might surprise other people, is the Islamic country of Iran attacking other Islamic countries such as Pakistan and Syria. But there are some very big differences in Islam, aren't there, sir?
Yes, Shiite and Sunni is the primary difference, I think.
The two big ones that would just as soon eliminate the other. The religion of peace, of course. But there's no doubt in my mind that Iran has nuclear weapons. If you've got the kind of oil revenue that they have, you can buy anything you want, including nukes. Pakistan is well known to have nuclear weapons. This is a very volatile situation, isn't it?
Yes, and I've heard from a number of sources, one's Colonel McGregor, that Turkey has been promised nuclear weapons by Pakistan should they decide they need them. So,
right. Well, Turkey wants to reconstitute the Ottoman Empire, which was in effect for about six centuries before 1917. And, of course, the Ottoman Empire included most of the Middle East, didn't it?
Yes, that's right. And I think Erdogan does have aspirations of that sort.
He does, absolutely. The combination of those aspirations and the revenue and the size of the country Turkey has and nuclear weapons is a very bad combination, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, I think it's a miracle, actually, that nuclear weapons haven't been used in conflict since 1945. Only a matter of time, really.
It appears to be. And not so much us, as far as I know, but the Russians and Chinese have developed nuclear weapons that have almost no fallout. Nuclear weapons that are quite small can take out maybe 1 square mile with almost no fallout. That makes them a lot more usable, doesn't it, sir?
Well, I believe it does, at least in terms of the way a military commander would look at it. But there's always a question of a nuclear fire break. You know, once you use a nuclear weapon, to use it against another nation that has nuclear weapons, you pretty much invite a retaliation with a nuclear weapon. So,
Roger that. That's clearly and obviously one of the big downsides of any country using nukes against a country that also has nukes. We have at least a partial solution for our listeners. We talk every Monday for an hour about the effects of electromagnetic pulse. And by the way, Andrew is busy with his company this morning. He's got an early meeting, so he can't be with us. We discuss the effects of electromagnetic pulse, the effects of lightning, and let people know that there's a solution to both those things, and that would be the EMP shield devices, wouldn't it, Stephen?
Yes, you know, that's a good solution for individuals and their families. We can't actually protect the grid and our critical national infrastructure, but that requires, well, if you can start at a local level, you know, I think the EMP shield company is actually working with different communities to do that. But so
they are.
The reason I wrote my book is because, you know, unlike most issues with nuclear weapons, there's technological ability to protect against the effects of electromagnetic pulse. And, you know, so it's not a hopeless situation in that respect.
It's not. Well, the response of many people when it comes to the topic of nuclear weapons, nuclear war, is something like, oh, I just soon not survive it. That's a way of bringing the discussion to a conclusion rapidly, isn't it?
Well, I thought about it myself. And if I'm you know, I'm still in one piece, and I'm in a situation where I have a choice between living and dying. I prefer to stay alive, and I think it makes sense to at least try to, you know, you have to hope for the best and plan for the worst. And but I'm not, and the people that say that about they hope they die, I mean, you know, well, if you're right underneath the detonation of a nuclear bomb that's above your city, well, you're going to get vaporized, and that's it. But, you know, you can be burned to death if you're 7 or 10 miles away and you're caught in a nuclear firestorm. There's like, you really want to die that way? I mean, you know, I think that's a stupid thing to say. You just soon
it
die.
Is stupid. It is. Protecting oneself from the effects of nuclear weapons is simple, doesn't have to be expensive, and very doable. Back in the late 80s, I was working with a group of men and women, a pro-Second Amendment group. I went through the FEMA catalog of publications, and I was able to get a dozen copies each for our board of directors of the everything that had to do with surviving nuclear war. Of course, that's been more than 30 years ago. At this point in time, I'm not sure any of those publications even exist from FEMA. They may have one or two, but not nearly as many as they had when the remnants of the Cold War were still around it, sir.
Right. You know, maybe we should tell, there may be some of your listeners that don't know what electromagnetic pulse is.
That would be a good way, a good starting point. You want to give us a summary of that for us, Stephen?
Yeah. If you shoot a nuclear weapon off above the atmosphere, say 100 miles up, you're not going to have any blast or fire effects that are felt on the Earth. But what will happen is in a few billionths of a second, that detonation will create a gigantic electromagnetic pulse, which means that anything that's electrically conductive, you know, and particularly you're talking about power lines, telecommunication lines, but it can even be extension cords or antennas, they're all going to have a huge amount of voltage and current induced into them by this pulse. Like a medium distribution power line can have 2 million volts and 5 to 10,000 amps induced into it just in a billionth of a second. And so that will fry anything that's plugged into the grid, because all modern solid-state electronics, they have microchips and microcircuits and, you know, all these tiny, amazing electronic devices that we've miniaturized are highly susceptible. I mean, you can even damage that with static electricity. So if you put, you know, 10,000 volts into your computer, you're not going to be able to turn it on again. So that's what an EMP would do.
That's a good summary. That's a good summary. And the details of what this is, how it works, and how to protect from it are in Stephen's book, Nuclear High Altitude Electromagnetic Pulse. Of course, there's a natural version of this also, which is called a coronal mass ejection. The strongest one we're aware of in modern times is called the Carrington event. It took place just before the Civil War in 1859. What do you know about that, Stephen?
Well, that was it was named after the astronomer that saw this the solar flare coming out of the sun. The sun has those all the time, but if one strikes the Earth directly, which it does maybe every 100 years or so, it will basically have the same effect as the E3 component of an EMP, which back in 1859, they didn't have modern electronics, obviously, back then, but they did have telegraph lines, and it burned up every telegraph line in the United States. The telegraph operators that were sitting there got knocked out of their chairs. It caught papers on fire. So if something like that happens now, it will destroy all the large power transformers and extra high voltage circuit breakers that are required for the long distance transmission of electricity, which would knock out the grid for at least a year or longer, because it takes 18 to 24 months to get those manufactured. They weigh 200 to 400 tons. They have to be custom designed. And you know, the heaviest load a train can carry is 100 tons, so they can't even be moved by rail. You know, if you lose the grid for a year or two, we're going to have a few problems. But that's what a coronal mass ejection would cause, a big one that hit the Earth directly.
Thanks, sir. Well said. One of the things that a Carrington event, similar to what happened in 1859, can do that a EMP event from a man-made nuclear device can't do. The Carrington type event can go all the way around the planet, where the man-made event can only go line of sight, can't travel around the curve of the Earth, can it?
That's right. That's correct. There are also, you know, small handheld electromagnetic devices that can create EMP in a small radius, which could knock out, say, a nuclear power plant. But what we're talking about, the nuclear detonation, but if you have it high enough, it'll cover the entire continental of the United States. And you can, it's kind of unusual. You can detonate one over the Yucatan Peninsula that will still knock out the grid in the U.S. because of the way there's two types of E3 waves, but there's no point getting to that technical. But that's how it works.
Absolutely. That's exactly how it works. Well, there's hope. And hope in the form of EMP shield devices, hope that is not extraordinarily expensive, hope that works, because what's sold at EMP shield is for consumers, listen carefully, everybody, is the exact same equipment the Department of Defense buys. No difference whatsoever, is there, Stephen?
That's right. You know, if you go to EMP Shield website, you can see they've had it's certified at military levels. You know, it's, the testing has been done. It's the same testing levels that are required by the Department of Defense. And I, you know, when I was writing my book, I actually I looked it up. I heard about it, and I went to their website. And I went, you can't write a book on EMP and not be a little bit concerned about it. I got him at my house before I even talked to Andrew. So.
Well, that was a smart thing to do, and I know my electrician, when he did the install, the main components are out of sight behind the circuit breaker panel, but underneath the circuit panel, hanging in plain sight, is a little gray piece of plastic with a green LED light hanging down there that tells me it's installed and it's working. Did your electrician do that for you?
Yes, I have the same green lights in my house and my outbuilding. And, you know, I didn't even have adequate protection from lightning. So I think these maybe cost about three times what a normal surge protector for lightning costs. But, you know, they're backed up with a $25,000 warranty. So that, you know, I don't know if other surge protectors for lightning are. It's also good for EMP, so I'd say that's a bargain.
It is a bargain. The cost-benefit ratio is extreme, to say the least. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your home having electricity means it would have refrigeration. Your home could literally be a lifesaver for men and women who need to refrigerate some medicine, for example, that couldn't be refrigerated otherwise. Having one home in a neighborhood could be a lifesaver for many people, couldn't it?
Would be. You know, I have a small solar system, a photovoltaic system that I can generate electricity with, and I've got the EMP shield on the batteries and that on the different electronic components of that solar system too. So it's not a big one, but I can run my deep well and I can run my refrigerators and electric lights with it.
Well, that's good to know. And ladies and gentlemen, there is an EMP Shield panel at my website at thelibertyman.com where there's a lot of educational material. And, of course, if you choose to get an EMP Shield device for your home, for your car, for your generator, you can do so right there at my website at thelibertyman.com. And we help people all over the world. There's places we can't ship to for obvious reasons, national security. But for the United States and our allies, we can take care of them for the most part. Our main customers, of course, are in the United States, aren't they, Andrew? I mean, Stephen, excuse me.
Yeah, well, Andrew would be the better person to answer about EMP Shield details of where they ship and sell. But the way I understand it, I think EMP Shield is actually even working with certain cities in different states. In other words, you know, you can actually protect your community at a local level. It'd be particularly true if you have some sort of power generation at that. But, you know, there's a lot of ways to approach this problem. It's pretty hard to change. You know, there's been two bills in Congress in 2013 and 2015 that were supposed to mandate that we would protect the grid and our infrastructure, but they were defeated, you know, and so we're still, you know, the military is known for decades that they protected a lot of their most important infrastructure, their weapon systems, communications, but you know, that's not the same for civilians, and we're really very much at risk for this.
Right, right. Well, you're absolutely right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we put the information out, education material out every Monday. People listen, they think about it, they pray about it, and hopefully don't procrastinate, because in this case, procrastination could be literally a death sentence, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think it's very, if you have the means to just at least get some EMP Shield devices for your home and your buildings, maybe your car, then you can feel a lot better.
Here's a break, everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
Fix bayonets.
Blame Eden and Nicole Colgren. Wherefore many men have gone.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Back, J.R. Moore here on Monday, the 22nd day of January. Visiting with Mr. Stephen Starr, the author of the following book, Nuclear High Altitude Electromagnetic Pulse, available for sale at Amazon.com. And, of course, this hour is sponsored by EMP Shield, where everything is in stock, ready for immediate shipment. Stephen, it was 4 years ago this month that the make-believe pandemic began, and we observed all kinds of situations, including situations with supply chain shortages, didn't we?
Yes, that's true. And I think we're still in a very precarious situation in that respect.
Well, yes. Not this calendar year, but the calendar year before, 2022, we saw dozens of food processing plants burned to the ground, which I think was very suspicious, and to say the least. We being the United States of America, we have some very serious enemies, and many of those enemies have people in our country ready to do things like burn food processing plants to the ground, don't they?
Yes, I'm not sure if it even is enemies from outside of the country that are managing that. You know, the globalists around the world are If you see what's going on in Europe, they're the German farmers and the Netherlands, they're trying to shut, they're confiscating land, they're shutting down the farms. It makes, you know, it makes absolutely no sense unless you really want to starve your population at some point.
Well, the fantasy that's based on is that carbon dioxide, which the more carbon dioxide this planet has, the greener and more lush the vegetation is. Am I missing something?
No, you're not. You know, I just think that we used to have a thing called common sense. When you you're going to starve your own population to save a tiny percent of carbon dioxide, and meanwhile on the other side of the planet, the Chinese are building all kinds of coal-fired plants. You know, it's not going
to change. I need to correct you. They're building a new one in operation, one a week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, but that's the point. I mean, they're not going to do anything except create hunger by, you know, burning down food processing plants and stopping farmers from growing food. But, you know, but why would they do that? I mean, why would
20
million illegal, you know, immigrants just walk across the border? Do you want to still have a country? I mean, you don't have a country if you don't defend your borders.
Right. Well, for all intents and purposes, we don't have a southern border. Governor Abbott of Texas has finally decided, I don't know why he waited so long, to use the Texas National Guard to actually close the border, which should be a normal policy. Now, the federal government has ordered the Texas to cease and desist from closing a border that should be closed. Nobody's mentioning the normal ports of entry where there's normal people normally come into this country. All that's being shut down is the places where people aren't supposed to be crossing, as opposed to the normal ports of entry. The normal ports of entry in Texas are still open for business, aren't they?
Yes. You know, I read it was within the last month or so, they actually stopped trains in Texas because there were so many thousands of immigrants. They had to stop the trains to let them go through. I mean, that's just crazy. It's like science fiction to me.
I know. Our listeners, we do have listeners in the Pentagon, by the way, in case you don't know. I know that firsthand from my private sources. Most of our listeners are not in the Pentagon. The majority of our listeners are regular guys and gals all over the country, all over the world, that can't personally do anything to slow down or stop the insanity. What they can do is take personal responsibility for themselves and their family, can't they?
Yes, I think that's where we got to start.
Absolutely. Well, I bought a number of EMP shield devices, installed them on various vehicles. I have one on my generator, one on my house. I actually have a couple of generators that they're installed on. And I go to bed at night knowing that if there's a thunderstorm at 2:00 in the morning, I don't need to leap out of bed, run around trying to remember all the things that need to be unplugged to prevent damage, which was my lifestyle before. I would, if thunderstorm was approaching, I'd hear the lightning and hear the thunder and jump up and, unplug this. Oh, unplug that. Oh, did I forget anything? you know, that's just the modern age, isn't it?
Yeah. That sort of solution, trying to wake up to unplug things, doesn't always work, you know?
It doesn't. And invariably I'll miss something. I'll forget to unplug the electronic scale I use for my shipping. I may forget to unplug the cordless telephone. It can be expensive to not unplug something, couldn't it?
Yeah, it can. My house, the tree right next to my house was hit by lightning some years ago, and my computer basically just exploded.
Oh, yes. That's what they do. Well, ladies and gentlemen, educate yourself. If you go to the EMP Shield panel at thelibertyman.com, you'll find a plethora of educational material that will bring you up to speed on what's available, what it does, how it works, and you'll be delightfully surprised at the pricing. Andrew at EMP Shield has graciously grandfathered my listeners to the John Moore Show, with a $50 discount on each piece of equipment. That adds up pretty quick. If you're buying three or four pieces of equipment, it adds up pretty quick, doesn't it, Stephen?
Yeah, I think I'm going to take, when you mentioned protecting your generator, I realized I haven't done that to mine.
It's a separate, the generator is a separate issue. Just because a house is protected, which is great, doesn't mean the generator is protected, because it won't be unless it's got its own EMP shield device on it. The ones that use a rope pull start don't need EMP shield protection, but if it's got electric start, that's a heads up. It needs protection there, Stephen.
All the nuclear power plants in the United States that are operating and licensed, none of them were designed to be protected against EMP, and none of them have been retrofitted to be protected against EMP.
Okay, we should be on a break right now, but something happened. The automated system apparently didn't kick in, so we'll just work through the break. This EMP thing, I've been aware of it, and I've mentioned this. We have new listeners every week. I became aware of it to the point where in the early 1990s, I hired a Dodge specialist to convert my 1988 Dodge to become a 1966 Dodge with no electronics. And he did a custom wiring diagram, bypassed, eliminated, got rid of all the transistors, resistors, and diodes. I still have that Dodge. It's kind of in a comfortable retirement right now, waiting to be used if it's ever needed. My Lincoln Town Car has EMP shield on it, of course, my home and my generator. And everything's protected, so I know that no matter what happens, I'll have electricity, I'll have transportation. Now, your grandparents out there with a youngster off to college? The EMP shield device on that youngster's car to travel 100 or 200 or 300 miles to get home, that may make the difference between that youngster getting home and not getting home, couldn't it, Stephen?
Well, it could, I guess. The other problem with EMP, too, is that if it knocks out the critical infrastructure, you won't be able to pump fuel out of the ground.
That's right.
At least you could get home.
Well, with my grandson up in the Pacific Northwest, I had stored up 5 gallons of, or it was 10 gallons of gas at a safe location for him to put in his Jeep to get home, because you can't trust a teenager to remember to do anything, can you?
Well, I'm getting to a point in my life where I'm a little forgetful myself.
Right. Well, that is something that comes with age, but I know if I call somebody's home and a teenager answers it, and I'll leave a message, it's unlikely the adults are going to get the message.
Better to leave it on the answering machine.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it is. What I did more than 30 years ago with my 1988 Dodge was time-consuming and expensive. The more modern vehicles made today, I'm not sure what it would take, because while we had one or two computers in 1988 Dodge, these modern vehicles have computers from top to bottom, left to right, don't they?
Yeah, I don't think you could do that. I mean, all the modern electronics, the solid-state electronics, are so ubiquitous that they're just in almost everything that's electronic that we use today. And, the military, I think in Russia at least, they use a lot of tubes in some of their things, which are more resistant to EMP.
Right.
I wish, getting back to my book just for a minute, the second part of it is about the dangers to the emergency power system and the active emergency core cooling systems at nuclear power plants. And the U.S. Air Force had formed, at the U.S. Air University, formed an electromagnetic defense task force that forced the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to answer questions, because they've never done any testing at any nuclear power plants, comprehensive testing to prove that their electronics are safe from EMP. And that, they said, well, thank you for your concern, but we have these two studies that we did 20 years ago, 40 years ago, that we think show that we're safe. So, you might want to get my book, Nuclear High Altitude Electromagnetic Pulse. You can go to Amazon and just type in my name, Stephen, with a V and star, STARR, and the book will come up too. You read that, take it to, your congressman, and, and go to EMP Shield and protect your own house.
Absolutely. Well, something that disappointed me but didn't surprise me, during the Biden administration, there were attempts to have Congress authorized to spend the money to protect the national power grid. I knew it wasn't being done, but I found out shortly after the Obama administration ended that it was not your basic Washington incompetency. No, rather than that, the Obama administration was actively blocking any attempts to spend the money to protect the national power grid. It sounds like the enemy was in the Oval Office, doesn't it?
Well, it does to me. I worked with a major in the Air Force that gave me, under Trump, he was mandated to educate the public about it. And there were a lot of initiatives that were being undergone to get things going. It all stopped as soon as Trump left office.
That's so you basically came to the same conclusion I did.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at everything that's happening in your country, I used to think it was just ignorance, but now I think it's malice. All the things that are being done to basically destroy our country, whether it's our family or our borders or not protecting against EMP, you name it.
Of course it's malice. It's done with malice of foresight. And what we're dealing with is a cabal of criminal conspiracy. A conspiracy is two or more people agreeing to commit a crime. And in this case, we have a lot more than two, don't we?
We do. It's a well-coordinated, in all the Western nations at this point. They talk about democracy and freedom, and they do everything they can to limit free speech and the prohibit the ability to gather, and all our Bill of Rights are going out the window under these people.
Absolutely. That's exactly what's happening. Well, you live fairly close to one of the centers of Missouri where the liberals have just about taken charge, Columbia, Missouri. I've traveled to Columbia off and on for more than half a century, and it's been a dramatic sea change in the landscape there, hasn't it?
Well, it's true. I mean, I still teach a class at the University of Missouri on nuclear weapons, but I was odd man out there. I was the only person in the School of Health Professions that protested against the students having to get mandated to get COVID vaccinations.
Good for you. You're the odd man out. Out of the entire faculty, you were it.
Yeah, in that school, at least. I don't, it's a little
amazing
university, but I said, why would we want to give 20-year-olds an experimental vaccine that's only been tested for 6 months? Takes 9 months to have a pregnancy. These 20-year-old girls are making them get this stuff. They don't even know what it'll do to a pregnancy. That's how it was
right,
criminal.
Right. Yeah, well, there's an 8-minute audio clip at my website at thelibertyman.com. I'm not sure if you and I ever discussed this, Stephen, but scroll down here on my website. It's in red. It says, John's warning about COVID vaccines, May 7th, 2020.
Yeah.
May 7th, 2020. I said, I made two statements. My guest that show was Dr. Horowitz. And my first statement was, you cannot develop a safe and effective vaccine in 9 months or less. Obviously true.
Oh.
The second thing I said, and I have evidence now, I didn't then, but my belief, based on my experience in military intelligence as a criminal investigator, my belief that the vaccines in May of 2020 were already in refrigerators waiting to be distributed, which I've since found to be true. So one of my private sources who works for one of the vaccine manufacturers told me in confidence that the vaccines were being developed for 6 years before they're released, not 9 months or less, but a full 6 years. These weren't experimental at all. They took 6 years to make sure they did exactly what they wanted them to do, and which is to kill and disable people. So, Stephen, as I've been saying, and as Dr. Michael Yaden, I'll mention Dr. Yaden's bio in a moment, what we're experiencing right now is the worst crime in human history. Dr. Michael Yaden was a vice president at Pfizer, a director of medical research at Pfizer. It's a pretty short list of men and women out of the 7 billion plus people on the planet. It's a pretty short list of men and women who have those kinds of credentials, aren't they?
No, that's right. There's a number of really outstanding physicians, too, that have all come out, like Peter McCullough, for example, that, you know, he was the most published cardiologist in the world.
Right.
And as soon as they speak out, they get their license taken away. They get sued. You know, it's shut them up. Right.
Well, the professionals that have the best advantage are the ones that are already retired. There's nothing in a way they can hurt them very easily, is there?
Right. Well, it's just that there's an enormous amount of information now about all the horrible consequences of the mRNA vaccines. There's a documentary called Died Suddenly that's, you know.
Yes, I recommend it. It's recommended to my website. You know, Died Suddenly is an excellent, excellent documentary. And we're up to booster number 8 with these vaccines, aren't we, sir?
But, you know, how can they continue to recommend these for children? And, you know, it makes me so angry when I think about it.
Well, it should. It should make you angry. The overall fatality rate from the vaccines, from COVID-19, was 0.3%. And almost all of those were concentrated in people who already had what's called comorbidities. They were obese. They already had existing heart and lung conditions and so forth, which basically put those people who died in the same category as people who die from the seasonal flu anyway. What didn't it?
That's right. You know, when I was arguing at the university, I said, look at the CDC's data for the morbidity for, you know, children and teenagers and people in their early 20s. It's like 1 in a million or less.
Right.
You know,
about the same as getting struck by lightning. Right.
Taking an experimental vaccine that you don't know what the effects are going to be.
Well, I've learned that when people get an emotional attachment to something, the evidence doesn't matter. I used to, this 7, 8, or 10 years ago, carry copies of the Paris Climate Accords with me to give to somebody if we were having a discussion, where it very clearly shows that India and China, which is about 3 billion people between them, are exempt from everything that's supposed to save the planet.
Yeah.
And how can both beliefs occupy the same space in your brain? That climate change is a clear and present danger to all living things on one hand, and that 3 billion people in India and China don't have to pay attention to it.
Yeah, I think that's cognitive dissonance.
It is, absolutely.
And that's what they do in the news, though. If they don't want you to know something, they just don't report it. Or even worse, they just lie about it now. You know. So.
Well, most Americans, most of the time, get their news in quick sound bites on television or radio, and they don't read, unfortunately. Now, you and I are very fortunate this morning. Listeners to the John Moore Radio Show actually do two things most Americans don't do: own and read books, which is extraordinary these days, isn't it, Stephen?
It's true. In my classes, I wind up having my students watch a lot of documentary videos that are good, because they'll watch the videos, but they don't, you know, when you have a reading assignment, then the participation falls off dramatically.
And you, as a college professor, that has to be disappointing. It has to be something that flies in the face of your training, the training I went through as a youngster. But something that can't be changed. That's simply the way the world is, isn't it?
Well, last semester I had a couple papers that I thought, why are these references so screwed up? I realized their students are using that the AI to write their paper. It made me think, I'm not sure if I'm going to keep teaching if I'm going to wind up writing papers written by a computer. But I haven't quit yet, so.
Oh, no. It's... The science fiction films that have been out for decades and decades, most of them didn't come close to predicting the world we actually are living in now, did they?
They wouldn't have sold because they would have thought it was too ridiculous.
That's right. That's right. And now, do you happen to ever get any homeschool students in your classes ever?
Well, I should say I always have some really brilliant students and a lot of times they teach me things. So that's I love teaching. And, you know, students usually, at least a lot of them, still have an open mind and they're curious about things and they're not mad about their whole lives yet, you know. So I love teaching. And I have faith that in this country and the people here that we can, if we can get away from all this woke stuff and get back to the basics again, well, we can actually have a great country again.
Well, there are certain parts of our country where this woke type, when it comes to hiring, can literally be a matter of life and death. The Federal Aviation Administration is openly advocating that they hire people with mental disabilities.
Right, I saw that. Dwarfism, retarded, psychological problems. That's exactly who you want to have, in charge in the control tower.
Yeah, I've been in a control tower at Lambert Airport. It's an international airport, very, very busy. And I'll tell you, if you're not very sharp and very on top of it, you got no place being in the door of that place, do you?
Yeah, it happens too fast.
Yeah, the decisions made there are literally a matter of life and death. How about the men and women who work on the Boeing aircraft that carry all these people 5 miles up? I don't want the mechanic working on my airplane to be there because of his race. I want that man or woman to be there because they're the best mechanic that can be had, don't you?
Well, the merit system is what I believe in. I mean, that's, an equal opportunity. If you have the ability to do something, you should have a chance to do it and get the training for it. And I don't like quotas. I don't, I just think that what makes a country and a nation great is to do the right thing and, let people with abilities learn and train. And but, we can't, when we get away from that, and money ruins everything, too. I mean, a lot of, I think, problems with Boeing is they got people, they're just trying to make as much money as they can, and they wind up cutting all the safety things and, get the cheapest parts you can get. And that's, I was wondering the other day, if we tried to launch another rocket to the moon, how far up would it get?
Right.
We really are in trouble.
Right, absolutely. Well, we have a lot of issues here, no doubt. But it's good to have one issue that we can deal with effectively in terms of cost effectiveness and time it takes. That would be EMP shield devices. It's good to know that at least one thing that is very important can be done within the means of most families, isn't it, Stephen?
Yeah, that's right. And like I said, I bought when I was researching my book on EMP, I wound up buying the EMP shield devices because I went to their website and I saw that they had done really comprehensive testing with companies that are certified to do it and that the devices worked. And when I spoke to somebody on the phone there at the company, she was very knowledgeable. I mean, and she even knew some of the references I was talking about that I used for my book. I even sent them a copy of the paper I wrote before the book came out because I thought, well, they might want to, maybe this can help them. But
you're right. EMP shield, the women, I think it's mostly women that answer the phones up there. They are very competent, very well trained. They're not just phone answerers. They're women who've been trained in the nuances of what EMP is, how the EMP shield works, and lots of details you wouldn't expect from somebody just picking up the phone, would you?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's unusual nowadays because usually you just get a recording in the first place. But I was very impressed with the company all the way around. So,
You're talking to people in Kansas, not somebody in the Philippines or in India. That's unusual these days, also, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I'm in Missouri, like you, so Kansas isn't too far away.
No, it's not. It's not at all. And it's important. This is talk radio, which is education and entertainment both combined. This morning, what we're talking about is education and entertainment both combined. On one hand, on the other hand, the consequences of what we're talking about could literally be a matter of life and death, couldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Your listeners, think about what you use that requires electricity. I mean, if you lost electricity, you wouldn't have any running water. Your refrigerator wouldn't work. You wouldn't have heating or cooling. You wouldn't be able to get fuel for your car. Your phones wouldn't work. None of the transportation systems would work. I mean, you wouldn't be able to access your bank account. There wouldn't be emergency medical services. And the EMP, if it knocks out the large power transformers, which it would, the grid would be down for, an entire regions of the country, if not the entire country, for up to a year to 2 years. And the congressional studies have said that up to 90% of the population would die under those circumstances. It would be like going back to the Middle Ages instantly. But we don't have the skills to live in the 17th or 18th century. Back then, people knew how to grow food and make things. We don't know that. We've lost all those skills.
Right. There's a TV series called Britannia that I've been watching. Takes place in Britain about 45 A.D., and watching those lifestyles and how people live back then is certainly a wake-up call. Here's our last break. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Rebs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, Stephen. That audio clip is from the film Gettysburg, where the Colonel Chamberlain was defending the Little Round Top, and many historians believe that what he did there saved the battle for the Union. What we're having moving forward to 2024, we have several states, I'm not sure how many, sending their own National Guard to Texas to reinforce the Texas National Guard to defend our southern border from the illegal aliens, in direct contradiction to what the federal government wants. I'm not going to say this is a direct parallel to what took place in 1860, but it certainly comes close, doesn't it?
I wasn't aware of that, but yes, I'd say that that's a remarkable development. I've often wondered if it wouldn't be the only way to avoid a civil war would be for some of the states to secede from the Union.
Well, it's a very dangerous times we live in. Everything's on the table. Of course, one of those things is a threat of nuclear devices being set off in outer space. When I say outer space, 50 miles up or so. And that threat is one of the several clear and present dangers. The Middle East, of course, is about to explode. We now have Islamic countries attacking other Islamic countries. It's not just Israel. These Muslims, they just simply hate each other, don't they?
Yeah. Well, it's hard to make sense out of what happens over there, but it's clear that I think we're headed towards a regional war that could turn into a global war. But, you know, there's more than 12,000 nuclear weapons in the world right now, and all it takes is one of them to knock out our grid. So that's why I wrote my book about, you know, the dangers of EMP.
A quick question, unrelated. There was a college professor in the Pacific Northwest who got in trouble and was called a racist because he was grading the papers his students submitted on grammar and spelling. Could such a thing happen to you? Is that possible?
Oh, I hope not. I mean, I guess I could be headed in that direction, you know, unwittingly. But I'm sorry, you know, if we got to the point where mathematics is racist and, you know, proper grammar is racist, then maybe it's time for me just to work out.
Advocating that you get to a meeting on time is racist. Yeah, I mean, but seriously, I mean, I'm not making this up. That's real.
Yeah. I really marvel at the. I got in an argument at a faculty meeting with somebody saying, this woman told me, she said, well, I don't think there are any absolutes. Everything is relative. And so I said, well, if you're in the emergency room and you've lost half the blood in your body and you need a transfusion to survive, is that relative? And she said, well, you got me there.
Well, at least she was open to that.
Well, I just, you know, that's my, I've always dealt, I like science. I like math because there's a right answer and a wrong answer. I've always taught my students, you know, when you're doing a clinical training, I didn't give partial credit if they got their math wrong. I said, well, what are you going to tell the doctor that you really almost got it right, but you turned out the 999 glucose instead of the 99, you know?
Right.
You can't do that.
Stephen, thank you. It's been a great visiting with you. We look forward to having you back next Monday, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. The top of the hour break. We'll be back with Sam Andrews, and it will be Firearms Monday. Stay tuned.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.